Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And I'll tell you, we have a really good show for you guys today. But before I go any further, I would like to bring Mr. Jamar Turner on. He's going to be your host, and also Ms. Tamaya Gaines is going to be the host. But Mr. Jamar Turner, could you please take over from here and bring Ms. Tamaya Gaines on the show?
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is Jamar Turner from Sacramento, California, and I'm so honored for the opportunity to be with you all tonight. A little about me is I produce my own show called Love I Am on Facebook, and I love doing purpose-driven content. I think that's a powerful thing, and I just love helping people through other people and their gifts. And I'd like to introduce also Ms. Tamaya Gaines. Ms. Tamaya, you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Uplifting Communities Talk Show audience. This is Tamaya Gaines. A lot of you probably have seen me on Facebook, but I can't tell you how excited I am for today's show. We have Mr. TJ Sterling from Ray Comics coming on. And after reading his bio, finding out about Ray Comics, I'm telling you, I am super, super excited. Anybody who ever wanted to break into the comic industry, you definitely do not want to miss this interview, I tell you. Mr. TJ Sterling, welcome to Uplifting Communities Talk Show.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is TJ Sterling, lead artist of Ray Comics. Straight out of New York, where we're hanging out here on the East Coast time, you know what I'm saying? Pleasure to enjoy and join my West Coast friends over here at Uplifting Communities. Pleasure to be on the show. Pleasure for you guys to have me. I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you again.
Absolutely. Yeah. So before we get started, Mr. Sterling, I do have to ask you a question. Are you safely quarantining before we start this show? Do you have your mask nearby? Because we can't afford to get the coronavirus. We heard your New York's numbers are up, and I can't afford for that to hit California.
Lord.
So tell me, do you have a mask nearby? What's going on, Mr. Sterling?
Man. I currently have an N95 mask strapped to my phone. So as I talk it's catching all of the vibes.
Very good. I got a lot of work left this week, and I cannot afford to be sick. But enough about that. Mr. Sterling, before we get into our line of questions, because I know myself and both Mr. Turner, we have some, oh, my God, the questions we want to ask. I cannot wait to get started. Tell us about yourself. Tell the audience about yourself. Who is TJ Sterling?
Oh, man, he's a guy that just likes the simple things in life, you know what I'm saying, straight up and down. But life really isn't all that simple right now. I think we're in a very, very, very complex time, and we're absolutely in a space where we need to be creating content that's inspiring as well as uplifting. And I think that's why me, being one of the first people you guys have on your show, I'm very grateful to be here. Ray Comics is a business, started as an idea. You know, growing up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I saw very, very little to no representation, positive representation of Black folks as well as people of color on the stands of, the comic book shops. And I kind of, as a kid, just knew that this was something I wanted to change. I wanted to actually create better perceptions and better narratives, more positive and uplifting and fun, entertaining narratives about our people and, you know, really dope situations. So that was the idea that kind of like started, I guess. I saw a need that, you know, something that needed to be filled. And I always wanted to do comics. I'm an art lover. I grew up, you know, painting and doing ceramics and doing everything art related. So I'm just an artist by nature. It's in my DNA. It's what I eat, live, and breathe since I was a kid. And for me, comics and sequential storytelling is the medium that gets you, it's like a gateway medium. It gets you into animation, it gets you into gaming and TV and film and so on and so forth. Any one of these large multi-million-dollar type of industries relies on narrative storytelling, and that's the basis of comic books. So I'm a person who loves art, loves great stories, and loves giving back as much as you can.
Hey, excellent. I love that.
Excellent. So you said something that piqued my interest just really, really quickly. You mentioned that you were from Michigan. Did you ever have the opportunity to meet Congressman, the late Congressman John Lewis?
Oh, unfortunately, I did not. I wish I would have because, again, he was a huge, powerful force in civil rights. And, you know, fun fact, my grandfather, who, you know, lived in New Jersey his entire life, was the president of an NAACP chapter here in northern New Jersey for a long time. And he had the pleasure of being at Martin Luther King's speech in Washington. He had the pleasure of meeting Malcolm X. And this was back in way before I was even a thought, you know what I'm saying? but that type of spirit of giving back in politics is something that I always had a huge respect for, and I've always had an amazing respect for Mr. John Lewis. So shout out to the, you know, his family and all the people who have always supported him and watched out for and really just uplifted his platform over the years.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Maya?
All righty. Yes.
I hate to pull from the Black Lives subject because I have more questions towards the comic part of his life. Do you want to continue with more questions on your side?
Absolutely. All right. So while we're here, I didn't want to feel like I was taking over the show, but yeah, absolutely.
Please take over.
Okay. Well, Mr. Sterling, let me ask you this. I also read here, oh gosh, where am I in my questions? I wasn't expecting for him to just hand over the show to me, but who was your mentor?
My main mentor is actually a brother named Ryan Benjamin. He's a dude from the West Indies. And he's been a comic book artist for DC Comics and Sony and Marvel for the past 20 years. And I met him at San Diego Comic-Con back in 2005. And it just was one of those types of friendships that was pretty natural, that I was a very eager young artist, you know, showing my work and wanting to get feedback from professionals that were working in the business. And you know, there wasn't many Black professionals working at the time. So he saw something in my work, and, you know, ever since then we just built a solid friendship and a bond. And, you know, over the years he's continued to mentor me and show me that, you know, you can be a comic book artist and drive a $100,000 car and live and have a loft in San Diego, California. And, you know, that there's, there's ways to really hustle this business and to work it and to, you know, make it something where you can support a family and live comfortably. And he was one of the first people who ever showed me that. So shout out to Ryan Benjamin and the people over at DC Comics.
Yes,
you have
Ryan
a loft.
Benjamin. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I heard two questions at once.
TJ, do you have a loft?
Oh, do I have a loft? I do not, but my mentor does, and he's the person I'm talking about. That's right. That's correct.
All right. Awesome. Well, I just want to give a shout out to Ryan Benjamin. Thank you so much for molding TJ into who he has become today. And TJ, I got to say again, I so appreciate your contribution to comics and just to the industry and everything as a whole. I know it's going to come up a little bit later on, but I know you're really, really passionate. You're very involved with a couple of nonprofit organizations. But before we get to that, according to salary.com, I know the average comic book artist salary in the United States is, I mean, in a good year, it's about $40,000. And you did mention that you live in the New York area. $40,000 is hardly enough to live in the New York area. That didn't deter you, and if not, why?
Yeah, when I first heard this question, I was kind of laughing a little bit, not in a mean way, but because like I said, I just think that it's interesting because people don't really think comic books and the industry itself is a lucrative one, and especially for someone working in the space where you're creating art, and I have not found that to be the case because again. Like I had mentioned before, my mentor, who, you know, has been a comic book artist by trade, you know, drives a $100,000 Tesla and has an extremely expensive, you know, loft and supports a family of four in, you know, his, you know, in San Diego, California, which is a pretty, you know, in the particular area he's in, it's very
affluent.
It's really
yeah.
dope. But mm-hmm. like I said, it's for me, I've never had issues with that. I guess I've never really looked at the salary aspect of it, because to me, the salary is what you make it. It's not necessarily what a statistic makes it. Because if you're really a hustler and, you know, you really know how to grind and do things that are a little bit more innovative and not necessarily do things that are standard, you know, you yield a much higher return. And I think, I've been fortunate enough to yield a high return with my business, and it's been pretty lucrative. But really and truly, that's also just having great content. I mean, like, the fans have supported us from day one and in big ways. And I think, you know, if you look at the Kickstarter campaign that we currently have running, which, you know, we're going to have links to in the description when we're all said and done, guys. Ray Comics Kickstarter, you know, is currently almost at 17K, and that's our very first time we've ever done a Kickstarter. But that's literally for 1 month's worth of work. And it's going to, you know, continue to balloon since we've got another 10 days left on the campaign. And that's really, again, just the fans, the supporters who have been there from day one. And it's really only scraping the surface. So, like I said, you know, life is what you make it, literally and figuratively,
yeah.
With the time that you have.
I agree. Mm. And that could also be a testament to the passion that you have for comics, because it don't feel like work. So maybe that's why you're not really paying attention to the salary portion of it. Well, I want to move on to our next question. I know that racism and social injustice has been a hot topic of conversation lately. Have you ever experienced it personally and or professionally? And if so, how did you deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the industry itself is unfortunately, well, I mean, how do I say this? Yeah, the industry itself is a white male dominated industry that, you know, serves, you know, the demographic from, you know, 8 all the way to 50. I mean, it's the original demographic of what comics were all about. And slowly over time, it's changed to be, you know, more people of color, more women, more LGBTQ members. I mean, there's lots of people in different spaces that are getting into comics. People from all walks of life are getting into the space of comics and kind of changing that dynamic. So if you are someone that's different, you know, people will, you know, like in my case, they picked up my book and asked if it was a black character and said they weren't interested, or again, like, looked at what was going on, or looked at me and completely thought that we were going to be selling something totally different. But when they realized we are only selling books about black superheroes and people of color, like, you know, the ignorance wheel, you could just see, you know, see it turning just in front of
wow.
you. And I think for me, I'm not deterred by it. I guess I'm maybe a little headstrong, I'm a little overconfident in certain areas, but, you know, because I know that I deliver a product that's quality, and, you know, you can't sustain yourself in business, you know, with a subpar product over years of time. So if one person doesn't want it, 10 other people will, and that's kind of my methodology. So there's plenty, 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 plenty of standard comic books that people can grow up with. You can buy Superman on the shelves till you're blue in the face, but people want different stuff. They want different content, and they're thirsty, and they're hungry for it, and that's what we deliver at Ray Comics. We deliver something that people want, and again, that's why we're still around and things have been good so far. So we're very grateful.
Well, let me be one of the first, again, to congratulate you, because I do see where you are delivering something different and a nice little additive that you have to go along with your comic book is an action figure, the toy. Tell us about Okemos the toy. And I hope I pronounced that right. But, yeah, tell us about your figurine.
Yeah, you pronounced it perfectly. Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, we're currently on, I'm trying to think how, we've already released, we actually do collections of figurines. We usually release them in, you know, first, second generation, so on and so forth. So we're already at a point where we've released 3 generations of toys. And that's just, you know, each year we come out with a new toy, something different. And we've been selling out of those. And even for this Kickstarter campaign that we're currently running, we have a new, brand new version, new sets of collectible figurines that are, again, only limited to about, you know, 10, 15 a piece, so they're a little higher price, but they're, you know, custom figurines that are made by hand by our 3D, you know, art team. So they're, but again, every single time we come up with a toy, they fly out the door. I mean, it's something that people love. People love figurines. There's a market for individuals who just collect that stuff, and especially when it's rare, because our stuff is super rare. So it's just another piece of the business that we're, you know, branching off into. I mean, we do also, you know, have an extensive, you know, a collection of apparel. We've got pins. Obviously, we have comics and art prints, but we're getting into animation and games in the next couple of years. So there's really lots and lots of incredible stuff that we have coming up, you know, very soon.
Wow. Wow. Super exciting. Now, I do know, one more question. I do know that your comic book had begun selling copies on an international level. Have you sold any toys internationally or figurines internationally to date?
We'll see after the Kickstarter campaign. I mean, all the toys that we have are sold out. I just don't know where they're going just yet. But as of right now, we have not sold any of our figurines at global, you know, and on an international level. And that's more along the lines because of shipping. I mean, right now, international shipping is a little bit weird. But even before then, shipping something as fragile as a figurine, a collectible figurine, you know, internationally, just don't know how safe that is. And I think it's something we've been shying away from. But we do sell our comics internationally. So that's one thing that we do internationally already at the moment.
What's a figurine, so that way the audience would know, just in case if they would see it?
Absolutely. So if you think about a toy is something that you can play with a little bit more. It's more of like it's posable, it has joints, and it's like if you think about an action figure like He-Man or G.I. Joe or something like that, those are toys, and they're a little bit less collectible because they're produced on a mass level. And figurines are something that don't have as much. They're more like a mini statue, if anything. Like, you know, if you were going to get like a statue, because there's a company called Sideshow Collectibles that's based out of California that makes these, you know, $500 to $600-$700 statues that are anywhere from, I think maybe 2 or 3 feet tall, of your favorite superhero characters. And these things are basically hand painted and they're sculpted out of clay. Like, they're actually legit more figurines than they are toys, because you don't really play with them like a toy. They're more of a novelty item and a collectible item. So that's what we currently provide, is something that is more of a novelty, something that's rare, and something that's collectible.
All right. Yes, go ahead. Feel free to jump in anytime you want, Jamar. I'm still in. Oh, my mouth is open. I'll jump back in after I pick my chin up off the ground. You know, I'm still stuck on the
figurine. Well, first of all, Mr. Maya, I have to say those are fantastic questions. I love the way you went in. You got some tremendous information. And Mr. TJ, thank you so much for providing that. But for me, I'm a little more childlike. I want to get a little deeper in your connection to art, your connection to comics, and how and why it became important to your soul. Because usually when we do things like this, our art, our craft, it's a soul connection from it. And I have to ask, there's a difference between being interested in something and giving your life to something. And you have given your life to comics. It is the way you provide for yourself. And I wanted to know, throughout your artistic history, you know, what was that thing, or when was that time that you really connected to the fact that I want to do comics as my career?
I mean, that's a very great question. I think everybody that's listening, I mean, it's a perfect time to take out your notepad and start writing this stuff down, because that type of question is a powerful one. And I'll say it like this, that I think all of us as young people, like when we start out, like let's say middle school, high school, we're in like, you know, these formative years where we're like trying to understand, like we're trying to understand a little bit of what we might want to do. We're trying to wrap our heads around that. And I think for me, I was lucky enough to always be an artist. Again, I was saying before, it was always in my DNA from day one. So I knew I was going to do something with art. I just didn't know what it was. But I mean, in high school, you know, I was a break dancer for a while. I was singing for a while. I wanted to be in like an R&B group. And then there was one point that I was doing martial arts heavy. I did martial arts for 12 years and, you know, got, you know, several awards from that. So like there's lots of things that I was doing like during that time that I was like trying to figure out life. And I think for me, art was something that always stuck with me. It was something that never left me. And I think what gave me ultimate peace was knowing that I could create artwork for myself. But once I started creating art for myself and I saw that I could actually influence other people's lives positively, that's when I knew that I was going in the right direction. And I think that, again, that just goes back to the fans and the people who have supported us over the years, that we are consistently here because of them, and that's because they believe in what we're doing, and we've touched their lives in a very beautiful way. So, like I said, I have always loved art, but for some reason, comic books, the sequential narrative, telling stories, telling interesting, unique stories about people of color, especially Black folks, you know, my people, your people, our people, is something that was always important to me, and I knew that I had to do it. It was just kind of an innate pull, you know, from my soul. I always knew that it needed to happen. I hope that answers your question. I think it does.
Yes.
I went.
Yes.
Yeah,
because what we're talking about here is that connection, me being, you know, everybody will look at me and say, you're a football player. I'm like, absolutely not. You're a boxer. I box. Absolutely not. You're a motivational speaker. I did that for a little while. I'm like, absolutely not. Everybody knows I can do it. So I totally understand your connection to finding your peace and your power in comics and going all the way in. But you're also a very hard worker, Mr. TJ. You know, being in New York, it's not like being in Sacramento and you can hop in your car and ride where you want. New York has a different feel. You know, it's a whole different type of thing. And I read that you worked at Marvel, but you were going to school at the same time.
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, again, I come from a school of just like working, you know, my era was very much like work for what you want type of thing. Like nothing was really handed
right to
me. I didn't really come from that type of environment. I mean, my parents definitely were not wealthy, and, you know, I'm the oldest of five kids. So, you know, when I first came out to the East Coast to go to college, like I was paying for school myself. My tuition was, everything was all me. And I was lucky enough to get a little bit of assistance with a place to stay from my grandparents. And then, you know, when they, unfortunately, you know, they got older, they got sick, they passed away, I was, you know, taking care of everything on my own. But I put myself through two colleges and was fortunate enough during that time to, you know, land an internship, you know, working at Marvel for about a year, where I learned the science of how to put together a comic book, you know, how everything worked in terms of the business and, you know, editorial and all these different things kind of just, again, like, came to the forefront in this internship. It was very, very eye-opening. And it was just like, okay, well, there's so much that can be done with this. And it's just not, and it can be a very lucrative career. It can be a passion business that, you know, you can live off of, which is really beautiful. So I'm extremely grateful for my time at Marvel, and it opened up doors to me doing, you know, cover work for DC, Dark Horse Comics for a little bit. I did work for some smaller independent publishers like Aspen Comics, and recently I just got done working on a Batman book with Ryan, my mentor, who brought me onto the project. So, I mean, that's a little bit of history of my journey right there.
You are living the dream, and that is amazing, living in your purpose. I'm sure we all can connect with that. Mr. Maya, I'm going to send it back to you.
Yeah.
As Mr. Sterling, some good stuff.
Thank you, Mr. Sterling. I did hear you, and I'm not going to let you slide. Did I hear you say that you used to sing?
Oh, God.
Who was your favorite artist?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm a 90s R&B dude, man. Like, I mean, but the 90s was kind of like the golden age of a lot of things. And to me, the 90s was the golden age of fashion, the golden age of music, golden age of comics, golden age of design. There's lots of things that I highly love and respect about the 90s because, again, to me, it was at the epitome of what those genres could be. Because, you know, in the 90s, people were sampling music from, like, the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and these are like amazing times for music. So, but now you got people who are sampling.
I gotta interrupt you because you're praising the 90s, but I feel the same way about the 80s, and I'm sure Mr. Brown probably feels about the 60s or 50s, you know, or 70s.
Hey.
So I think that's all relative to how old we are, right? Without telling our age.
But since you say Mr. Brown, well, I'm gonna interrupt everybody. And I got an announcement I got to make. I wanna, you know, thank everybody for listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And today our special guest is Mr. T.J. Sterling. He's an artist, and he draws really, really good, y'all. I'm telling you. Okay, and we have our host, Ms. Tamaya Gaines and Mr. Jamar Turner. Okay, now, if you guys want to ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1, okay, and I'll let you in. And again, my name is John L. Brown, okay, with Uplifting Communities Talk Show as well. All right, back to you, Ms. Tamaya.
Thank you. So, Mr. Sterling, not to put you on the spot, but kind of, yeah, I really do want to put you on the spot. would you be willing to sing something for us, just a little tidbit, give us a little sample of what you're working with?
I have not sang anything in over a decade, so that's definitely not happening. But what I will say is that if people want to, you know, hear me talk or want to speak or speak with me, I mean, I've got tons of interviews up on my website, raecomics.com. That's raecomics.com. You know, I talk a whole lot on that. So if you want to hear more of my voice or see me in person, you know what I'm saying, that's the place to do it. You know what I'm saying?
All right, brother.
So besides your website, where else can they find you? How can they find your Kickstarter? How can they get involved? And, tell us about the nonprofit organizations that you're affiliated with, that you're currently donating to. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So super easy to find me, actually. I mean, I'm everywhere. I mean, if you search T.J. Sterling on Facebook, you're going to find my personal profile, which I share tons of cool art and just different stuff on there. You can also find me on my website, raecomics.com. That's raecomics.com. And I'm also on Instagram and Twitter, at Ray Comics. That's at RAE Comics. And I'm constantly posting really great art, process stuff, just, you know, thought-provoking, introspective stuff. So please find me there. Check me out. When it comes to the Kickstarter, if you are on my website, raycomics.com, there's actually a tab where that says Kickstarter. You click on that, and that will actually take you directly to the Kickstarter campaign itself, so you can see all the stuff that we're doing. So please visit us there. In terms of philanthropic work, Tamaya, your question is, what is Ray Comics involved with, and what am I involved with as the owner? So we support an organization called the Junior 100, and the Junior 100 is an organization that is a offshoot of, or like a sister organization of, 100 Black Men of America. And essentially what this organization does is it builds up young, up-and-coming youth in the middle schools and high schools here in the New York City metropolitan area. They also grab, you know, people from Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx, everyone in the surrounding boroughs. It's a youth development program. They help them with elevator pitches. They help them with business. They help them to understand what the college market looks like. They help them get prepared mentally for what the world could look like by talking to professionals like myself. And I've had the pleasure of working with them for a number of years. And through this Kickstarter campaign, we're actually donating $500 to this tour organization. And we're extremely excited about continuing to work with them and actually giving back in a different way this time around. Because typically it's just me speaking to the classes and mentoring students. That's one charity that we're a part of currently. And another charity is kidney.org, which is the national, I believe it's the National Kidney Society. I can't remember the exact name, but kidney.org, if you go to that website, they have a way that you can donate and you can give to this organization that helps so many people who are in need with kidney disease and kidney issues. Unfortunately, I come from a family where kidney disease is extremely high. I do believe it's higher in the Black community than any other community in the world, unfortunately. So the research that kidney.org does is incredibly needed for our people. And I've, again, my story is kind of interesting just because my mother, my grandfather, and my great aunt are all, you know, kidney transplant recipients and, you know, kidney disease survivors. So it's something that I've always been around my entire life, and I just figured that with
right.
this particular campaign, it'd be a way that I could give back to the people and who need help. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
The kidney definitely
yeah.
is personal for you. The Junior 100, is that also personal for you? Do you have a personal tie with that organization, or is that something you just admire what they were doing and you wanted to become involved? What's your story there?
Yeah, well, I was always admired what they were doing, but I think when I found out that they were doing youth empowerment work, I found out because I was actually requested by them to speak to their class. And I worked with them for a number of years where I mentored some of their students, and I basically helped them understand what things need to be done in business. I mean, small things like give your elevator pitches and how to shake someone's hand properly and look them in the eye and how to prepare a resume, like just very powerful development tools for the youth. And again, it's an organization I've done work with personally on numerous occasions in the past, and I wanted to highlight them with my campaign as well as, you know, give them a sizable donation that I felt would help them continue to operate during these crazy uncertain times.
All righty.
Mr. Meyer,
well,
can I come in?
Well, I want to interrupt one more time. I have to say this. You know, again, you are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show with Mr. T.J. Sterling, and he's an artist, okay, a comic artist. And I have to go ahead on and thank a few people for supporting us, and one of them is Off the Chart TV out of Los Angeles, California. I want to thank them, and also I want to thank Mr. Jansen Brooks with Council of Elders program. They support Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and I want to give a special thanks to Miss Artie. She's have Artie's Organic Honey, and she have a bee farm in Emeryville, California. And I just want to say thank you guys so much for supporting Uplifting Communities Talk Show. Back to you, Mr. Jamar.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that, Mr. Meyer. Once again, fantastic question. Mr. TJ, I know we're overloading you here, but I got to get to this one. Mr. Chadwick Boseman has just left us recently due to colon cancer.
Yes,
and, coming from a comic book man like yourself, you know, Black Panther, of course, from my understanding, and you can please check me, Mr. TJ, was first a comic book, correct?
Yeah, Black Panther was first a comic book that debuted in the 60s or 70s, if I'm not mistaken.
In the 60s or 70s, absolutely. And just so I just want to make sure I'm correct for the viewers, I want to ask you this. Considering this, how important was that character not only for the people of the world, but for African-American culture. And how important was Chazzy Boseman playing that character? How important was Chazzy Boseman playing that character? Do you have any views on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy for me because, like I said, I think as black folks, I just think that we're emotionally drained, like, at this point in time. Like, there's so many crazy things that have happened throughout 2020 you know what I'm saying? Like, especially for us, there's a lot happened. I mean, you know, COVID, you know, hits us, disproportionately more than any other race on the planet. You know, especially here on the East Coast. I mean, people are really struggling with it. It's been getting better, but the struggle has been real. I mean, the social justice stuff that's happened with Brother George Floyd and so many unarmed black individuals that have been murdered and killed by, you know, oppressive white police. Something like this that happened with, you know, Black Panther and you know, Chadwick Boseman and this whole situation. So that we just, I don't know, like I said, it's been a rough year, and to add more to it, this happened. But, and obviously we Kobe Bryant of LA, I mean, who, you know, I think the world looked Kobe Bryant as an artist, as a creator, as a person who was giving back to the world with his craft. And I think that's exactly what was going on with Brother Chadwick Boseman, that he was a consummate artist. He was a person. I mean, I've seen pretty much every single movie he's ever done before he even did Black Panther, and I was always in awe of his talent as an actor because he brought something to the screen that no one else could bring. And, you know, I think it's crazy, man, because I first saw the Black Panther movie at the Marvel Friends and Family premiere here in New York City. And because I used to work there, I'm still friends with a lot of those people. So I get, you know, early access to some of these movies. And when I saw the movie, I was absolutely blown away because it was first time that in this current period that I can recall there being a positive, uplifting, powerful image of black people in cinema. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, one of my all-time favorite movies is Coming to America, because we're talking about black kings and queens and, you know what I'm saying, like, all of the characters in between. And I just loved everything about that movie because it was something you just didn't really see all that often. And then you fast forward, you know, over 20 years later, and you get a very similar type of energy where you see black royalty and, you know, black production, you know what I'm saying, black writers, black costume designers. And to me, that movie was so groundbreaking on lots of levels. It was the first Marvel movie to ever win an Oscar. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the second Marvel film to ever win an Oscar was the Into the Spider-Verse, which is centered around a black character. So I don't think that there's a coincidence that, you know, your black productions are the ones that are going to be winning, because we support those types of things, but also because our stories are so dynamic and diverse and multifaceted, it hits on various different levels. So to me, Black Panther was a groundbreaking, incredibly powerful piece for our people that showed, you know, you can create these types of movies, these types of stories, and we're going to want to see them. We're going to show up for it. And Chadwick Boseman was the conduit for that art. You know, he held that movie. And I think if you look at any other Marvel movie post Black Panther, like, they were standing on the shoulders of what Black Panther did and what Black Panther was. And his character that he played and his acting ability was the foundation for all of that. So he, you know, was an incredible artist, but, you know, from what I heard, he was an incredible human being who gave back to people, who used his talent to uplift people who were fighting cancer and fighting disease. And, you know, he was a force for good. And I think that's what hurts the most, that he's no longer with us, because, you know, the world is a little less better off without an individual like him.
Wow. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He had a connection. He had a connection to us. Yeah.
And you know what, and I want to say, this brother, he went away, and not too many people that knew that he was going through that, you know, with the with his colon cancer. Because I, you know, I just watched the movie, with him right before my birthday, because my birthday was first Friday, and the night before I was watching James Brown. You remember he played James Brown?
Yeah, and he killed
great
it.
Great movie.
Killed it. Great movie.
Yes, he did. Yes, sir, he did. And I said, wow. Then, and I didn't find out till after my birthday he had passed away, because I wasn't on the internet. I was just going around, you know. Oh, that was pretty heartbroken. I was really heartbroken with that. But he was one of my favorite actors.
I mean, the story that I mean, I'm sure everyone on this show is aware that, you know, Denzel and Felicia Rashad have this thing where they're supporting, you know, black actors and black youth who are interested in getting into acting. Because, I mean, obviously, Chadwick Boseman went to Harvard. I think it was Oxford. Or he went to a very prestigious
He went to Howard University.
School. I knew he went to Howard, but I felt like he went to another school post that.
Oh, he did, huh? Like, he did.
Yeah, it was like post. Yeah, it was post that where he wasn't able to afford the tuition, but Denzel took care of the tuition for, you know, him and then a whole bunch of other young black actors through this thing that him and Felicia Rashad put together. So this spirit of what's the word I'm looking for, of paying it forward, you know, was flowing through Chadwick from Denzel and other great black actors. And I think that Chadwick continued to pay forward as well. So, like I said, he was a solid brother that was just bringing change to the world, you know what I'm saying, one piece at a time. And I think that's the reason why he's missed as much as he is, and he's respected and revered as much as he is now, more than ever.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that was a pretty deep question, right?
I want
there.
To ask you a question myself. Now, I do know that in the African American communities or the poor communities, there are so many people, you know, that has that ability to draw. You know, I'm talking about can draw, you know, and they got very good insight. You know, what would you tell those people? You know, and they wanna go and make it. You know, they wanna get out there, you know, and show the world their talent, but they don't know where to go. They don't know where to start. They just there. You know, what would you tell them? You know, something motivating to get them out of their shell, so that way they can go and test their talent.
I mean, I would say that everyone, you know, you're born. I personally think that a lot of people have gifts. You know what I'm saying? I think the majority of majority of us are gifted in some type of way at a very young age, whether you're gifted at mathematics or gifted at fashion or gifted at, you know, event planning. I mean, there's everyone has a gift. It all just kind of depends on how you use it, how you look at it. So if you're gifting, or if you feel like you're gifting maybe art, I mean, I just suggest to just, can you know, just always believe in yourself, period. Like, you know, at the core, do not doubt yourself. And I think you have to also give yourself a little bit of wiggle room, because when you start out, no one starts out like incredible. Like, usually when someone starts out, they start out pretty bad. But again,
yes,
you just have to look at it like this, like, bad is it's relative, because without the knowledge and without the experience, you know what I'm saying, you're still a baby in that space. And that's how I look at it. Like, without the experience, without the knowledge, you're working in bad. You're just still kind of a fledgling, you know what I'm saying? And to no longer be a fledgling, where you just have to spend years and years of dedication. You just can't give up on it. And again, lots and lots of people ask, oh, how do you get to where you're at? I'm like, well, or how long did it take you to get to this level? I'm like, well, it took me, you know, 36 years and change, you know what I'm saying? Because really and truly, it takes your entire life at the culmination of the time you're born to the time you're at now to get to where you're at. So it's not something that happens overnight. It's a constant, constant journey. And you have to be ready for that journey. And you have to understand that there's peaks and valleys like anything, you know what I'm saying? Life is peaks and valleys, ups and downs, positives, negatives, yins and yangs. This is just how life is. So it's the same thing with creating art. Sometimes it's going to be painful. Sometimes it's going to be blissful. Like, these are just, and everything in between. So don't give up on yourself. Believe in yourself. Give yourself a little bit of room to breathe, a little bit of slack. Don't be so hard on yourself, and just continue to push forward regardless of what anyone said. You continue to push forward.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, well, we got a caller. Okay, I'm sorry, Jamar.
No, I'm just cheering him on right now because that's where I am,
okay,
too.
Okay, right on. Okay, well, we got a caller, okay? Y'all want to let the caller in?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Willie Green, and I'm calling from Sacramento, California. I am a supporter and business associate of Artie's Honey here in Sacramento. And Mr. Sterling, I've been following your career for quite some time. I grew up in the
really?
60s, so I'm a big comic book fan because that's what the guys that I grew up on my block, that's what we did. We read comics and we made model cars, if you remember back in the days when they had the model cars.
I do. That's what's up, man.
Cut them and painted them, and oh, yeah. And so to clear this up with Black Panther, Marvel gave him his comic book first, but the first black hero that they introduced was Luke Cage, who at that time when they introduced him was Hero for Hire.
Mm-hmm.
Called him Man of Steel, but DC said no, you can't do that because we have Superman. So
it
goes back that far. Yeah, and it was the 60s that Black Panther came into existence. So, yeah, I've been following Black Panther and Luke Cage and the whole Marvel thing. And I had a friend named Emery Myrick who was an artist like yourself. And that's what he did. And I think later on after we got out of high school, I think Marvel picked him up to draw for them because that's what he spent his time doing, was drawing those characters out of the comic books. And, I mean, he was excellent at it. I couldn't draw stick people, so, you know. But I have a business here in Sacramento, California. I'm into fashion. I'm a image and lifestyle consultant. So I make people look good. There are a lot of things that you guys have talked about and pointed out and that I kind of involved myself as well because I'm a mentor of the young students and young generation here in Sacramento. I run a mentoring program called Against the Grain, and I've hooked up with another friend of mine who has a mentoring program called Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence, where we're taking the guns out of the hands of the kids and putting a rod and reel in there and teaching them how to fish and be one another with one. So yeah, I'm overjoyed and I'm excited. I'm listening to all of what everyone is talking about. I'm an OG, like I said, and a lot of this I've gone through and been through, and so I'm just doing my part like everyone else, and that's giving back to our youth and helping them come along. And, you know, with all of that's going on in the world today with the pandemic and the police shootings and, you know, and as far as we as black people, we need to really, really strive for coming together as a nation of blacks because we were brought here. We didn't come. And
as kings and queens of
the country that we came from, we were kings and queens there. We spoke our own language. We were already a community before they brought us here. And they took everything from us.
Okay, that's true. You're 100% right. You know, okay, Mr. Jamar, what you got to say about that?
Okay. Oh, right. So, Mr. TJ, thank you so much. I have one last question on my side. And Ms. Omai, are you there, honey?
Yes, I am.
I have one more question on my side, and then I'm going to pass it to you because it's already 6:49, so.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, do you prefer Mr. Sterling or Mr. TJ?
I mean, I appreciate the mister that you guys have been saying the whole time. It's very respectful, but, you know, I'm not my father, so you could easily call me TJ. I'd be totally fine with that.
Okay, so you talked a little bit about overcoming obstacles. man, what's your number one tip or advice for pushing through? You have one specific thing you'd like to tell the viewers about how to push through a challenge?
Yeah, real simple. Just get out of your own way, like straight up. Like your greatest,
that's right,
you know, hero and adversary can be yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like you can, and this is, I think, anyone who's a creator struggles with this because, I mean, you know, we can get in our own way. We can deflate our own ideas before they even start. So, you know, as soon as, and I've heard this plenty of times, people will be in deep conversation and be talking and like, oh, well, I started this, but, you know, I just couldn't finish it. I just, you know, just thought that it wasn't really for me. And it's like, you know, some people make the conscious choice to give up, to throw the white flag before they even begin something because they're self-defeating. And I think we live in a world where, you know, people do not know or understand your idea and your vision until it's blown up. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this was crazy to me because I was talking to a friend of mine from Houston, Texas. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, we knew all about, you know, 3-6 Mafia for the longest, but, you know what I'm saying, like, we didn't really start, you know, messing with them heavy until, like, they got popular on a national level. And it's like, but y'all had them in your block, like, you know, in your area the entire time, and you weren't, like, screaming hoorah from the hilltops about how great they were because sometimes people just don't see the vision. They see what you're doing, and they rock with it, but they may not enlist into the vision. And you have to be your absolute number one supporter and visionary for the stuff that you have going on. And you have to get out of your own way. You have to believe that you can do it. And I just think that visualization is an incredibly powerful element. Seeing your goal in your head, you close your eyes and you see it, like I see X amount of money made, you know what I'm saying, because I've served this amount, or I see me reaching this goal by the end of this time, you know what I'm saying? And then also, once you visualize that goal, how can you break up or manage your goal into smaller chunks that are digestible, you know what I'm saying? Because you can't eat a whole steak, you know, with one bite. You got to take pieces of it, right? So that's just what it is.
Yes.
Like, how can you break down your larger goal into smaller, manageable mini goals that you can do every single day for X amount of time to get you the result that you're looking for at the end of, you know, at whatever the deadline may be.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mr. Maya, I'm passing it to you now.
Thank you, Jamar. And again, those were excellent questions that you asked as well. Piggyback off of your answer, Mr. Sterling, excuse me, I'm a force of habit, Mr. Sterling. I've become a proponent of protecting my energy, and I think that's really important as well. If people do not see your vision, you do have to protect your energy because you do not want them to drain you, right? And it's so easy to become discouraged. But with that being said, and I know we're near the close of the show, and I'm not trying to imply anything one way or the other, but how would you like your legacy to be remembered?
How would I like my what to be remembered?
Your legacy. How do you want to be remembered?
Man, you know, I mean, I think about this all the time because, you know, I'll say it by this, like, you know, the first time someone passed away in my family was my grandmother. And, you know, she was there when I was born, and she was a person who was one of the strongest black women, one of the strongest women I'd ever met in my life, but was a powerful black woman who didn't take no mess from anybody. And to me, she was more, you know, again, incredibly strong, incredibly brilliant. She was a business owner. She would, you know, she was a nurse for 50 years. She, had an antique store. She would, you know, literally travel from state to state and, you know, at conventions similar to what I do now, selling her wares. And she just was an all around powerhouse. And when she passed away, I knew that she knew a lot of people, but, you know, her funeral show, you know, the funeral starts and over 300 people show up to one person's funeral, you know, so packed that people couldn't get in. And you'd think it was a famous person. You'd think it was somebody that, oh my God, like that, you know, was on TV or something, but she was such a force of good in someone's life. Like, she literally made a difference in other people's lives over her entire lifespan. She made a mark. And she was a person that, again, was a positive individual that was uplifting, that gave so much of herself to others. And I never forget that moment, because it was one of those things that I knew that it wasn't about money. It was, wasn't about how much money I made, or how much success I had. It was how many people I touched with my time here on this planet. So
yes,
everything that I do with Ray Comics as a business, with everything I do as a person, TJ Sterling, the man, the one and only, the myth, the legend, kidding. everything that I do on a regular basis is meant to uplift and inspire others. So I guess I would want to be known as an individual that has always been a force for good, has always been a person that loves and cares genuinely and deeply about the progression of other individuals. So I'm hoping that that's what my legacy will be when my time comes.
Well, it sounds like it's definitely in your DNA. And I want to thank you again for joining us here on Uplifting Communities Talk Show, radio show. My name is Tamaya Gaines.
And my name is Jamar Turner. And
I'm your engineer, Mr. John L. Brown.
Smoothing it out for us.
I
appreciate you.
I just had to put that in. I
want to
say one thing, Mr. TJ. You know, you are very inspiring, and keep that up, man. Keep that up, okay? And the reason for that is because I feel the same way you feel. It's not the big things you do in life, okay? It's the little things, you know, like going out and getting care packages and stuff, you know, and giving it to somebody that's unfortunate. Like adopting a family, a needy family on a holiday, and bringing them a bag of groceries, a turkey or a ham. You know, it's the little things, man. That's what people are going to remind you of. Oh, yeah, I remember him. He was the guy that brung the package. That's Mr. T.J. Sterling. Oh, wow, I got to get this. You understand? Oh, I got to support this brother because he was so good to us. You know, that's what it's all about. The little things, man. You know?
They go a long way, and it's a cumulative effect too. Like, if you're gonna do something, you know, start right away. And that's the key thing too, is like, if you're gonna do something, just start. You know what I'm saying? It could be, because that's a beautiful thing when people say, oh, I can't even draw stick figures. Oh, the only thing I can do is draw stick figures. But we start out all of our comics with stick figures, and then you build on top of the stick figure, and it's like building a house. You look at a house. The house is all sticks. The house is nothing but sticks, and then you add in the piping and the this and the siding and the cement, all this other stuff. And then at the end of the day, you have this fully finished structure. And I think, you know, we all start out as a base, but you can easily build on top of the base, but you have to start the base. You got to start those stick figures. So I encourage everyone to start, you know what I'm saying, just to do whatever you want to do, just start today.
Yes.
Okay,
all
well,
right.
We got 1 minute left on the show, and I'm going to ask Ms. Moore, would you close us out, please?
Who?
Jamar, would you close us out? We have 1 second.
Okay.
We have 1 minute left.
Thank you so much for watching Uplifting Communities Talk Show with Mr. TJ Sterling. It was an honor to serve you and to serve your souls with this wonderful guest. And please join us next time on Uplifting Communities Talk Show. We're so excited to see you again. And we also want to thank Ms. Tamaya Gaines for joining us and Mr. John L. Brown. We're so excited to see you next time, and see you soon.
All right.
Take care, everyone. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
y'all.